Well, now to New Hope for people with early stage arthritis who are too young for full-on knee replacement. Artificial intelligence is being used in breakthrough knee surgery, which saves and strengthens the knee joint. Computational modelling calculates how to shift weight away from the painful area by working out the load each patient puts on their knees and the way they walk. In turn, a level of precision can be achieved in surgery that can't be managed with the naked eye. And in some cases, recovery time has been shortened by up to two-thirds. The AI-driven software has been developed by the Auckland Bioengineering Institute at the University of Auckland, where my next guest, Professor Paul Monk, is Associate Professor. He's also an orthopaedic surgeon at Auckland Hospital, and he says this is a real game-changer. Dr. Monk is in the Auckland studio. Welcome, Paul.
Good morning, Catherine.
So for this kind of knee injury or damage, what's the cause of the actual pain?
Yeah, so we see this whole spectrum of arthritis as orthopaedic surgeons. So we have the young patients who come with a meniscal or that shock absorber in the knee. They have a problem there and they get a pain in the inside of the knee typically. And we see the spectrum right the way through to where you have bone-on-bone arthritis, which there's a sort of home run operation for that with a knee replacement. But this target group we've been looking at is in the middle, which is this working age individual who has pain in the knee, which is just getting in the way of what they want to do. So it's people like you and I that want to either go outside and just have a kickabout with the kids, or they want to go on the walk with the family, but this pain in the knee is stopping them doing it.
So how advanced would it be, the damage, whether caused by arthritis or perhaps by old injuries? And they're often linked, I think, aren't they, particularly in younger people? Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how advanced would it be normally, just at the point where it is causing you either pain or mobility but not incapacitating you? Would that be the most accurate?
Yeah, so what the process in the knee is that we have this beautiful coating of cartilage over the top of the bone, and as soon as that has cracks or fissures in it that connect with the bone underneath, that's when people start displaying signs of arthritis. So as soon as we start getting the wear of the articular cartilage, that's when people start having problems. And for us with this technology, there's 80% of the arthritis that we see is what we call anteromedial arthritis, so at the front in the middle. And it starts in the middle before it progresses around the knee. So the ideal candidate, I suppose, for this for high tibial osteotomy, which is what we're talking about, for this cut in the bone and realigning the leg, the ideal candidate for that is someone who hasn't progressed into the outside of the knee, but just has the earlier stages in the middle of the knee. And traditionally, people have seen these patients and we would often delay until we have this fantastic solution of joint replacement at the end of the day, which is much further down the track. So if you think about in terms of that spectrum, we have this group in the middle, which in the literature they're called the treatment gap, where we haven't had great solutions in the past. But we're at this exciting time now with surgical innovation, with a very clever bunch of engineers I work with, where we can come up with new solutions.
Typically, has surgery been attempted in the past, not full-on knee replacements, but has surgery been attempted that is crude compared to what you can do now?
Well, traditionally, osteotomy has been around since the late 70s, so there's nothing new in terms of what the operation we're trying to do. It's more that we've always tried to plumb for a specific correction for everybody. So sort of one position or one shape fits all, which of course it doesn't. And so the challenge we had with my research group, and the challenge I threw to them, was can we design the tools to deliver this ideal correction or implantation position, if it's a joint replacement, for a specific patient? And that's where the Auckland Bioengineering Institute has the ideal solution, because first we have to understand how each patient, or how you or I load our knee when you're standing and walking, and how that's different for different people, and of course for different races, for different disease stages. it's entirely different. So the patient arrives on my doorstep at a different stage each time. And so we are now at this frontier of engineering design and technology where we have already these. At Auckland Hospital, I have a robot which helps me put in the components. But the bit of the piece of the pie that was missing was, where do you put it? And how much of a correction does this patient need compared to that patient? And that's where the modeling, the bioengineering models have come in, which is essentially a huge library of different patients across the whole population. It's called a statistical shape model, which represents the whole of society in theory. And then when a patient comes to us, we can move the model to them, and we can then show how they load up their knee.
So AI, as often is the case, machine learning is simply able to process a phenomenal number of calculations at a speed that a human being couldn't do, let alone with the naked eye. Was that roughly it?
It's extraordinary. Exactly right. And for me as a surgeon, what that means is I can then take that information and then do the virtual surgery. So I can apply a range of different orientations or corrections, if you like, and then walk the patient. So in the computer, it's telling me how they're going to load up after the procedure. And so we can do a huge number of iterations of that and do the surgery before we even arrive in the operating theatre.
What is the AI processing, this statistical shape model? Is this like a record of every single surgery that's been done? Like, what is the source data that it's number crunching?
Yeah, so It's taken a huge amount of information from each individual. So it takes MRI scans, it takes gait analysis, which is those markers that are put on the legs, and we walk patients or subjects up and down the gait laboratory. It takes those, and it takes long leg X-rays. It's a huge amount of information. So we've got temporospatial kinematics, they're called, so how that knee moves through space, as opposed to the traditional orthopedic approach of taking a static standing or even lying down scan and then trying to apply a single point of correction. So the AI piece is, we've done all this work in the background. It was done way before I arrived in Auckland. It was Peter Hunter and the ABI. They built these huge models over 10, 15 years. And we now move those models to the patient in front of us and so see where they fit in the whole population.
How microscopic is the difference between one person and another potentially in the surgery as a result of the machine's capacity to do this intensive modelling?
So what we've realised is, it's if you change the orientation of your implant, so for a knee replacement, if I put the knee replacement 2 or 3 degrees either way from where I thought I wanted to put it, which I can't do with my naked eye, that's for sure, it can completely throw the kinematics and the loading of the knee into the other compartment. And by that I mean, if I'm out by 3 degrees, the load can go, instead of going where I want it to go on the lateral side, the outside of the knee, it can still remain in the painful side. So I've undercooked the operation, if you know what I mean.
Let's talk then about its application. Is this, you know, fairly well New Zealand unique, what you've done here?
Yeah, well, at the moment, it is. So in New Zealand, we have this extraordinary situation where we aren't, and deliberately New Zealand has got ahead of the game in a lot of ways, in that they're not hampered by the red tape that we had in Northern Europe and North America with CE marks and FDA approval. And it is one of the true places we can go from bench in terms of innovation to bedside through this innovation pipeline. So when we the sort of output of our models, we send for 3D printing, and I can take that 3D printed part into the operating theatre and we can just get on and do the operation. And there's very few places in the world that can do that. So New Zealand is punching way above its weight in terms of what it's delivering. We're ahead of the game at the moment.
Our ability to deliver the surgical procedure, would it be possible in some other countries? Because do you need to have the equivalent of some kind of clinical trials for something like this? I mean, I know that normally applies to a pharmaceutical intervention, but are we in a better place than some countries at putting this into practice?
So these are, so in terms of the pipeline for production, these are patient-specific implants, if you like, or patient-specific parts. And that has an entirely different regulatory pathway that goes with it. But one of the things I do is one of our big sort of hallmarks, we innovate and we evaluate. So these, all of these people are part of a comparative trial to show that whether or not this is better than our previous gold standard. But no, there's very strict pathways, even in New Zealand, that we have to adhere to, yeah.
But could it be happening elsewhere or not? In other words, is this kind of exportable or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So this is, there are the tools we have, the step we have on the competition, as it were, is the power of our musculoskeletal models. And people are coming from all around the world to get involved with our models, which is really exciting for Auckland.
How much of a difference is this going to make to things like waiting times? Or is this, as we were mentioning, likely going to have an impact on people who wouldn't even be in a queue for some kind of surgical intervention?
Yeah, that's part of the message, really, is that when we go back to what we were talking about at the beginning, in that spectrum, it's more that we now have a realistic option that we can offer that treatment gap. So we don't all have to wait until till we have full-blown arthritis, can't walk, need a knee replacement. There are now these new offerings in that space in between, but it sits entirely outside of the waiting list. That's an entirely different debate.
But might it end up shortening that waiting list? Is it an early intervention that may prevent later need, or could it simply give you a better life until you get to that point?
Yeah, we're going to have to wait 30 years to answer that one, Catherine, but that's the hope. That's absolutely right. So we know in the previous way of doing it, the studies have shown that you can get excellent results with an osteotomy out to 7 to 10 years. So the hope is now, and these early cases that we're seeing, they seem to be going really well, better in the early stages, but we have to wait for that 20, 30-year data before we can make a call on that. But yeah, absolutely, that's the driver for us.
On the other side of this, you've got now the technology and you've got the information. Are our clinicians, most of our clinicians, trained, and what will it take to get them trained to take advantage of this?
Yep. So our model of innovation is that we work on a solution, and then we would work to, in terms of distribution, we have to engage with the bigger orthopaedic industry, and they are very much in touch with surgeons throughout the world, so they're very keen to see how this progresses.
But throughout the country even? Is this an application right across the country?
Yep, we collaborate with a bunch of different centres throughout New Zealand.
That is exciting stuff. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
Professor Paul Monk, Associate Professor, also the Orthopaedic Surgeon at Auckland Hospital. And this is the development again of the Auckland Bioengineering Institute. We've spoken to them previously about some of their innovations. This one, another very significant one. They are based at the University of Auckland, using AI to give incredibly precise, specific instructions on how to undertake orthopaedic surgery on knees. This is someone who is pre the level of needing a knee replacement, allowing extremely precise surgery depending on their individual circumstances, physiology and gait.